A number of weeks ago, the Vatican approved a miracle through the intercession of Archbishop Fulton Sheen, the famous bishop, American bishop of last century. He will probably be beatified within the year. I don't know if you've yet had a chance to read this. I just read about it this week. It's one of the most extraordinary miracles I've ever read through the intercession of a saint. A future saint, not a saint, not canons at least. Archbishop Fulton Sheen, 3 years ago, a relatively young married couple, they give birth to their third child. And it's a home birth. They had had two successful home births already. They were going for a third. There had been no complications in the past. When their son was delivered, he was stillborn. They take the child and they place him in his mother's arms. And she starts to cry. His body was totally blue, limp. There was no breath on his lips, no pulse. They immediately call 911 to bring an ambulance. It takes 10 or 15 minutes. No improvement to the child. The nurses come in, the doctors come in, take an 18-minute ride to the hospital. They try CPR, they try everything they can. No response from the boy. They get to the hospital, they bring him into the ER, and they intubate him. They think, gosh, you know, there's no chance, obviously, of saving his life, but maybe we could at least revive him so that his mom could hear him cry one time, that she could see him breathe, that she could hear his heartbeat. The intubation doesn't work. At least not strong enough to get any oxygen to the brain. Finally, after nearly an hour, the doctor says, enough. You know, this is futile. What are we doing? A few moments later, at the 61st minute of this child's life, he cries. Everyone in the ER looks over, shocked. The mom was in the room next door praying to Archbishop Fulton Sheen. Save my son. I think Archbishop Fulton Sheen was partial to him because they had already decided to name him James Fulton after Fulton Sheen. The mom comes in, she's able to hold him. The doctor says, you know what, don't get excited. He'll probably live a few hours. If he makes it a week, I would be amazed. If he goes longer than that, he'll probably be a vegetable. He'll have severe brain damage. Actually, they took an MRI, and there was severe brain damage. He'll be blind, on and on and on. That little boy just celebrated his third birthday a few weeks ago. There is not any sign of mental or physical handicaps to that boy. The mom and her husband, they immediately contacted their friends, and they started to meet every day for a few weeks during that child's initial days. When he finally was able to come home, they stopped the prayers. After 6 months, they did another MRI. No sign of any brain damage whatsoever. I thought of that mom when I read today's gospel because I thought the apostles were not yet at the point where they had the faith of that woman. They could not yet believe in the impossible. Now here they are, the apostles, they'd seen so many miracles. Right in here, they have all these hungry people. It's getting late. What do they say to our Lord? Send him away to go get some food. Right? Why didn't they say, Lord, you can do anything, provide for them. Feed your people, you love them, and here they are, they want to hear your word. They don't even think that far. They can't think that he'll do the impossible for them. And my brothers and sisters, it's so often the same with us. Right? We don't even ask certain things because we think they're impossible. It doesn't even dawn on us to say, oh my gosh, Lord, you can do everything. Can you do this for me? Who does God work miracles for? The people who ask him for them. So oftentimes we hinder him because we don't yet have perfect faith. So our Lord works these miracles to elevate the faith of the apostles and everyone there present. And something further that had never occurred to me. I was reading the fathers of the church, the early saints and theologians, and one of them said, where did the miracle occur? Where were the loaves multiplied? Right, our Lord takes the five loaves, looks up to heaven, breaks them, and hands them to the apostles. Now you can imagine the apostles going to a group of 1,000 people and being like, okay, I have half a loaf of bread. And they break a little and they hand it off. And it's replenished. And they give a little more, and there's more in their hands. There is more in their hands at the end than there was at the start. The loaves were multiplied in the hands of the apostles through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that they would come to understand we are to be his instruments. So that one day when he would ask them to celebrate the sacraments, they would already believe that he can do this. Gosh, if he can multiply loaves in my hands, he can forgive sins through me. I mean, I sometimes think about, gosh, what was it like when the apostles first heard a confession? Right? Did they wonder, like, okay, is this going to work? That's what when I first heard confessions, I remember the first guy who knelt down before me. And it's so simple, right? I just said these words and I'm like, yeah, I hope this happens, right? I hope. Every day when I celebrate Mass, the greatest miracle on the earth, and I can believe in that because the loaves were multiplied in the apostles' hands because they believed in it. And it wasn't only for them to understand that as priests they are his instruments, that his grace flows through them, but for everyone present, those 5,000 men, not including women and children, that they would all understand, okay, our Lord has chosen these men to be his instrument. I can trust that he's going to work through them. And that's why we do today, when we go to confession, what are we believing in? That Jesus Christ, by his divine will, has chosen that this is the means by which he's going to continue to work in the world. And one last thought. Our Lord is so good because he keeps his priests humble, that they know it's his power. Several years ago, I was on a pilgrimage, and I met a priest. He'd been a priest for 26 years. And he had this phenomenal gift, a charism, where he could read hearts, and he had the gift of healing. So if someone would go up to him, he would pray over them, and he would just know things about their life. I asked him, I said, Father, after this service that he performed, I said, Father, how did you come to discover that you had this gift? He said, I had been a priest for 10 years. And one day a lady contacted the parish that I was at and said, Father, I've just been diagnosed with terminal cancer. Would you anoint me and pray over me? He said, okay, I'd be glad to. And he said, I hesitated to ask God to heal her because I thought, okay, the cancer's terminal, right? But he said, of course I did. She called me back a few weeks later. The cancer was gone. He said, so I called my bishop and I said, Bishop, I don't know if this is real. Maybe it was a mistake, but I might have the gift of healing. He said, oh, I know you have the gift of healing. He said, what? He said, oh, I have a file on you, dozens of letters that people have written the last 10 years being healed through your hands. Our Lord working through his priesthood, hiding it from his priest, that he might remain humble. I close with this. About a year and a half ago, I got a phone call. There was a relatively young woman. She was frantic in her mid-30s. Her mom had just died. I went to the house. It wasn't a parishioner from here, but from a local parish. And the whole family was gathered around. The woman had died an untimely death. She was in her late 50s. And I got there, and, you know, as a priest, you don't celebrate the sacraments for someone who's deceased. But we don't know the moment that the soul leaves the body when someone dies. So you would always anoint someone, at least. And I remember in that moment, here, this woman's cold, limp body, and I'm anointing her, and I think, interiorly, you know what, God can do anything. All right, what if he wanted to bring this woman back to life? And I hesitated. And I thought, okay, Lord, I know that you can do all things. And I didn't say it out loud because I didn't want to startle the family. But just in my heart, I said, Jesus, if this is your will, if you want to raise this woman from the dead, I believe with all my heart that you can do it. I put perfect faith in you. The woman did not come back to life. But it was through no fault of my own that she didn't come back to life. Because I asked the impossible of our Lord, who can do the impossible. And that is the kind of faith he asks of us. I can do all things, and I love you with an infinite love. Do not hesitate to ask anything of me. If it is not in accord with my will and I don't grant it, at least you've asked and given me the possibility to grant your prayer if it is my will. May we not hesitate to believe that he can do all things.